A character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Sounds of the new intro music. Ooh, yeah, baby.
Ooh,
it's tugging at my heartstrings. Hey, everybody, welcome to another edition of Stunt Granny Audio. Eric Nelson and Dusty Keebinker here with you. Dusty, my main man with the main plan. How you doing today, bro?
Oh, I'm hanging loose and hanging it out. You know.
You hanging with Mr. Cooper?
I am.
You TGI Friday in this shit?
Oh, and today, TGI Friday stands for Thank God It's Funny. Because we are being funny.
Oh, man, that's a lot to live up to, Dusty. Oh, boy.
I'll forget I said that 3 seconds from now, so we're okay.
We do have a few things that are worth talking about today, and some of them might be funny, and some of them might be sad. however, I was wondering, you're the commissioner of this fantasy football league some of us are taking part in. I wondered if you wanted to start with a little football talk today.
All right, football.
Football. You and I were talking earlier today about the Colts' choice to pick up Kerry Collins as a backup for Peyton Manning.
Yes. I approve of that.
I approve, too. I think you said something that rang true and should ring a lot more true than some of these assholes are like, oh, the insurance policy, and some are like, oh, should have planned a lot sooner than this. I think you put it best when you said Kerry Collins has a lot of quarterback left in him.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's got a few more useful years left in him. And I don't understand why the Titans were so willing to push him to the side.
Yeah, I mean, he's a 38-year-old guy, if I did my math right.
Yep, 38.
There certainly have been older quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yep.
He's
including,
got a
and especially, the other guy your crazy person owner was looking at.
Oh, my God. Let's just pretend that never happened.
No, okay.
What's his name? I was going to say it's all rumor and hearsay, but I don't know. God. Anyway, yeah. And he's got a decent career quarterback rating.
Yeah. You know,
if you consider like a 74 decent.
The problem with the Titans was always Jeff Fisher was basically an idiot. And every time Vince Young would struggle, he put in Kerry Collins. And every time Kerry Collins would struggle, he put Young back in. And neither one of them had a chance to really get into a flow during the course of a season. So, in my opinion, that paints both of their careers.
Oh, sure. Do you feel like Fisher was the type of kid when he was like 6 or 7 years old who would, like, run outside and play for 2 minutes, then run back inside to grab something, then run outside and back and forth until his mom was finally like, in or out, just pick one.
Yes, yes, exactly.
And yeah, you're right. So it screws with Kerry Collins' career. And he had, you know, like I said, it was decent up to that point. I think I saw that he had one 4,000-yard career. You know, he probably averaged, like, 250 yards a game or something like that. But really, he's an above-average quarterback. You know, I think it's a crime that he's sitting on the shelf well until earlier today, and an asshole like Tavares Jackson has a job.
Yeah, Tavares Jackson is probably the worst starter in football, besides the rookies. And, just the fact that the Seahawks wouldn't go stronger after somebody better is really kind of insulting.
Uh-huh. Yep.
If you're a Seahawks fan, you got to be, like, just totally discouraged.
Yeah. I didn't realize this, too. So, Kerry Collins was drafted number 5 overall draft pick, first-round draft pick by Carolina.
Yeah.
And he kind of bounced around teams. Like, I got familiar with him as a quarterback for the Giants. I didn't realize this poor asshole was a quarterback for the Raiders for a while, too.
Oh, God, that could kill anybody's career. It almost did with Randy Moss.
Those were easily
the two worst years of his career up until the last year.
No kidding. So I don't know. All things considered, they definitely could have done worse than Kerry Collins. I think that everyone's kind of knee-jerking their reaction to this. If he's got to sit in for one game, you know, good. Maybe, so what if he throws 250 yards? Okay, it wasn't 350 yards like Peyton's going to throw, but, you know, like Chris Carter said on Mike and Mike the other day, Curtis Painter?
Yeah, Curtis Painter, yep.
Curtis Painter would make a better painter than a quarterback.
Nice. Ouch.
And Orlovsky, you know, looking at his jersey is like reading an eye chart. I can hear you stifling your laughter.
Yes, I am.
It might be disgust, I'm not sure.
Disgust, yeah. Yeah.
What else is going on in the world with FB now that we're hot into this FFB draft?
I don't know, man. I'm just excited for it, you know?
Yeah,
teams are starting to make cuts. The Dolphins signed Larry Johnson.
Yep.
Larry Johnson's corpse. 31 years old with 4 domestic violence cases.
They should have signed Larry Johnson from the Charlotte Hornets.
Nope. Not Grandmama. We're talking the old Chief running back.
I would have rather they picked up Muggsy Bogues.
They'd be better off with Grandmama, actually.
Yeah.
It would be a better running back at this point because the other Larry Johnson ran 5 times for 2 yards last season. So
that's awesome. That's something he's going to hang on his fucking wall for the rest of his life.
Yep. You think that would be enough to shame a person into retirement, but nope, he's back for more.
Hey, man, if somebody's willing to pay him.
Right?
You know?
It's those kind of moves that make me shake my head, though. He's going to be the number 3 running back. Like, why don't you just use a young guy for cheaper?
Yeah, that's a good point. What else does he bring? He can't be much of a motivator. 5 carries and 2 yards.
He's going to bring the domestic violence and homophobia.
He's going to distract
slurs in public as well. So.
There you go. He's going to be the black hole of team issues. Like anything else that happens, just like, it wasn't as bad as what Larry did.
Right.
Like, what happened that week in wrestling? Something huge. Damn, I can't remember. Something huge happened the same day that Terry Taylor got fired from TNA.
Oh. Yeah, I'm no good with like that.
It wasn't like Edge's retirement. I don't think it was a death or a murder.
No.
It was something huge, and all I could think the whole time was, you lucky bastard. You got off so lucky.
The yellow...
The yellow stripe down his back. We're here trying to cover something else, and that piece of shit, that normally, if that other thing wouldn't have happened in news that week, we probably would have spent about 3 hours on Terry Taylor's career and how big of a pile of shit he is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So maybe all these teams should be hoping that they get a Larry Johnson on their team.
Yeah.
I can shoot myself in the thigh every night. I'll make Ricky Williams look like Marvin Harrison. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. Hey, should we, since we started talking about bad people in wrestling, like Terry Taylor, and we mentioned TNA, what do you say we throw in our 2 cents about Matt Hardy?
We got to.
We have to. I like how you said you posted something, which we'll get to later on in the show. You posted something on the site, and you said, we're taking a break from the Matt Hardy News Network.
Yeah, right. Oh, he's the gift that keeps on giving. You hate that.
Not like he's done a lot of bad, like, career-ending things.
Yeah.
But, you know, how many times can you flush your reputation down the toilet?
Right, exactly.
It's like if somebody took all the soundtrack from every episode of Married with Children and just strung together every time Al Bundy flushed the toilet.
Well, let's have sex.
No pig.
Oh, whoosh.
And then the crowd goes crazy.
That's awesome.
That's amazing that was exactly what I was thinking the whole time, too.
Yep, I knew it.
Yep. So, here's Matt Hardy. Jeremy yesterday called him our punching bag. I feel like we should get a specially made shirt for Matt Hardy that says Everlast on it.
Yeah.
And, like, B1 or some horse shit and send it to him and thank him for letting for him being our punching bag.
Yeah. No, like those guys were talking about, man. I mean, he always talks about change and cleansing and I'm a new person now and nothing ever actually changes with him.
No, not at all. He always does that, you just wait or, you know, don't bet against me.
Yeah, and then he fails again.
Yeah, we'd be rich motherfuckers if we bet against him.
I don't remember a single thing he did in TNA, and he was supposed to be, I'm reborn, now I can breathe again, you know?
Uh-huh, right.
He didn't do anything in TNA worth anything.
No, other than the fact that he got a new nickname, I couldn't tell you one thing that he... I couldn't tell you one way in which TNA benefited from having him on the roster. Christ, almost as soon as he shows up, his brother flies off the deep end.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, well, I'm sure one reason he was brought in was to be his brother's babysitter.
Yeah, probably. He was supposed to be the sane one. How that works, I don't know.
I don't know.
Because he's on drugs, too. Just nobody talks about.
Yeah. I like all the little things that are being pointed out, like that mugshot of Matt Hardy. I like how Jeremy pointed out the fact that his eye, I think it's his right eye, is just like, I mean, Christ, he makes Hacksaw Jim Duggan look like, I don't know, Marty Feldman? I don't know.
Intelligent or something.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's not fair.
No, I like Hacksaw. And he is
I don't dislike him by default now. Now that I've actually had multiple conversations with the guy, he's just too likable.
Sure.
He's just such a, he's a big teddy bear.
Yeah.
Matt Hardy, on the other hand, is just stuffed like a teddy bear.
No, and here's the thing. Does he think now WWE is going to bring him back because he's changed and better?
I don't see how anybody in his, I mean, you pointed it out a few times. He is in a certain state of mind right now.
Yeah.
And it's something that, you know, is probably amplified by drugs and alcohol and whatever else he does. But I have a feeling that, like, no matter what kind of person he was obviously a little delusional, and, you know, like 5 years ago or so, thinking that he was better than he was. But something like, once that snowball started gaining momentum, just his personality, generally speaking, just got worse and weirder and more fucked up. And then adds drugs to it, and I mean, he's just out of fucking mind, and nobody in a reasonable state of mind would think that WWE would hire me now, because, you know, I got into a car accident, now the blood that ran down my face clung to me. But the state of mind he's in, he might actually think that.
I really think he believes in the lie. I really do. And, you know, delusional. I really think that. So
now look at the self-destructive behavior of his brother, Jeff, and the fact they're willing to bring him back. They know that he has star power.
Right. I mean, there was a time not too long ago where he was the best babyface in wrestling.
Yep. Yeah, that was only 2 years ago, which for some is a lifetime.
Couple of years ago. Whereas Matt Hardy hasn't been relevant since when? Since Lita?
He hasn't been relevant since his feud with Edge and Lita, which was one of the first times that we heard him say, oh, you just wait. You know, sure.
Yeah,
I might have gotten
his job
done.
Times. It was like, he's different now. Everything's different. He's changed.
Yep. I might have gotten jobbed out in 6 minutes on the second biggest pay-per-view of the year, but you just wait. Big things are coming for Matt Hardy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and
fast
so,
forward, how many years later he's done nothing to improve himself. He hasn't gotten in shape. He hasn't changed his style to catch up with the times. I mean, it's 2011, and he's way back in, like, 2001 or something, you know?
Right. I wouldn't even give him that much credit. Like, he's, you know, whatever he was in 05, I would say he's stuck in 06, because at least people were talking about him in 05.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you look at the fact that his brother can almost kill himself multiple times and still be brought back based on his star power, and you look at Matt Hardy, who now has all of his newfound destructive behavior and has no star power, I guess to flip your question back onto you, does Matt Hardy have a future anywhere in wrestling at this point?
I don't see it. I really don't.
What are the options? WWE, I think we're saying no.
I can't see WWE bringing him back. Maybe the only person, like Jeremy and Kevin, were listing feuds that Mick Foley could do. Like, let's do that with Matt Hardy. I don't see anything other than maybe with CM Punk, maybe.
And you know what? It took them a little while, but they finally got around to that built-in feud between Punk and Jeff Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they wanted to bring in Matt, I think he's a liability, especially for a huge company like that. But if they wanted to bring him in for a short feud and just give him some money to help put over Punk even more, the whole straight edge thing.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are no long-term feuds. There's no reason to bring him back. You know, he's not a good veteran. He's not good for a locker room at this point in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not good for a company. Look at there are two other upstarts right now. There's that Jeff Katz thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Billy Corgan thing that he's trying to, you know, get kicked off the Resistance Pro, I think it's called.
Right.
Either of these companies, with you know, one of them is getting a lot of press right now in the pro wrestling realm, and one of them is, you know, the Smashing Pumpkins fans are kind of abuzz. Literally, like, there are a lot of people in the Smashing Pumpkins circles that are talking about Billy Corgan's pro wrestling.
Okay.
I wouldn't bring in Matt Hardy if I was either one of those guys.
No, I mean, if you're trying to start a wrestling company, you need it to be stable. You can't be dealing with Schmucko over here off to the side, you know?
No. And then take Ring of Honor. They have their new TV deal with Sinclair Broadcast Group. They've already done a TV taping. They're going to have another one here at the OVW Arena soon.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to start their TV show at the end of September. I don't know if Sinclair is whatever. I don't know if they're private, public. I guess that really doesn't matter. They're a well-known media entity, owns a lot of TV stations across the country, affiliates. It would be very ill-advised of Ring of Honor to bring in Matt Hardy right now, too, given their current situation.
Right. I could maybe see it like a surprise appearance at the TV taping to try to generate some interest. But there's more risk than good on that, and I would definitely advise them not to. Like, Jim Cornette really did, I mean, he gets, like, a lot of attention for being a hothead and angry at the world, but he'd rather give you the benefit of the doubt, and so I can see him wanting to give Matt Hardy the benefit of the doubt. But I hope that's not the case.
I also see him you know, there are people who deserve the benefit of the doubt because they were misunderstood or miscast or misused. And then there are the people who you might consider giving them the benefit of the doubt, but they brought it on themselves.
Yeah.
And I feel like Cornette would see that. I think that he would see that factor, that Matt Hardy is doing this to himself.
Sure.
And I don't think it'd be worth the... You know, honestly, the two things that I would expect... I don't see any reason why he would go overseas either. You know, I don't see any, like, spot for him in a New Japan sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, Japan. Probably his best bet, huh?
Well, monetarily, it might be his best bet, and the wave that he would be able to ride is his lack of notoriety or fame. You know, maybe he's like flown under the radar to the point where those guys over there don't know that he would be kind of a. But you know what? Take him away from his fucking hillbilly friends in America, and maybe he'll get back on the right track.
Oh, I'm telling you, dude. Going to Japan can just completely resuscitate your career.
Yeah.
It's happened for a lot of people. Umaga, for example.
Yeah.
Great example. So definitely should go and try.
Yep.
And he can be away from everything. Be away from his fucking hillbilly meth addict friends. And just kind of, you know, put your money where your mouth is and resuscitate your career for real this time.
Yep.
This is his last chance.
It is. It has to be his last chance.
Absolutely his last chance.
You know what? Stateside, my other two thoughts are take indie bookings as long as these idiots are willing to pay you $1,000 plus transportation.
Sure.
And or, you know what? Pitch an idea to TNA. Or not even pitch. You know what? Fuck it. Let's look at it from TNA's side.
Mm-hmm.
If TNA, if they had their fucking head on straight, they would realize that they are in an absolutely no-win situation right now. They are just oozing money. They're just like hemorrhaging money left and right.
Yep.
They're on a network, Fight TV, that's about to rebrand itself, and I know Bischoff says that's not a big deal to them, but it could be. They're on a cable network that also just lost UFC.
Yeah.
So that's huge. They've got a consultant type, a couple of them in Bischoff and Jason Hervey, who are off doing other things. By some account, they've got a really like successful new TV show about swamps. I don't know what it is. I don't care. They've got a lot of irons in the fire. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched an episode of Swamp something. Yeah.
How was it?
Bad.
Bad. All right. Well.
There's also hillbilly hand fishing now.
Oh, yeah.
That's the most ridiculous thing in the world. It's 2011. We invent things like fishing poles, you know?
Right.
And now these fucking hillbillies are using their fucking hands. I mean, you deserve to die. You deserve
basically.
To get eaten by a shark. You really do. So.
Well, and then you've got, you know, Hulk Hogan's going to follow the money, and really, like, he's whatever he's done, it's been pretty innocuous in the last couple of years. If he wanted money and if he wanted something to do, he could go to WWE and probably get a 6-month gig. No big deal.
No,
and on top of that, you've got idiot writers. You've got a bunch of piss-poor wrestlers. You've got a few decent ones, but not too many. You basically got nothing. TNA is on the verge. If it weren't for the fact that their owners have a shitload of money to just waste, this company, by all rights, should be going down the toilet. You would think that out of self-preservation, a good idea for Dixie Carter and or Vince Russo and anybody else in charge of that fucking place would be like, you know what, fuck it. Here's what we're going to do. We're bringing back Jeff Hardy. We're bringing back Matt Hardy. We're going to have a stable of guys led by these two. They're going to run rampant over TNA, and then you hear the record, the needle come off the record, and the whole fucking company implodes, closes down. And then everybody can blame it on Jeff and Matt Hardy and take all the blame off themselves. No Jeff Jarrett, no Kurt Angle, no Vince Russo, no Dixie Carter. It was all the Hardy boys' fault.
Sure, sure.
They died on our watch. They cost us this. They cost us that.
Yep.
Go out in a fucking blaze of glory.
Now, it's funny you mentioned this because a little while ago, for whatever reason, I just randomly decided to listen to a 2008 audio of us.
Okay.
It was right when Chocolate Rain hit, okay? So, that'll give you some social context. You asked me a question about TNA, and I said, well, are they even going to be around next year? And that was 2008, so...
Wow, that's sad.
We've been waiting for how many years now, you know?
What, you know what, this is the last week of, last full week of August. We're only about 5 or 6 weeks away from the TNA roster game. Are you excited?
I'm pumped.
I'm ready to cut the fucking shit out of this company.
They there's so many people on the roster, and they keep signing more.
Yep.
They just added a bunch of Jay Brones to the X Division, and they just brought back Jeff Hardy. I don't understand what they're doing.
Yeah, I know. At this point, it's almost like a one-in, one-out rule, you know? Oh, Jeff's coming back, Matt's got to go.
Yeah.
Red's got to go, fucking that guy that looks like Brian Kendrick shows up. I don't know. Who knows? It's just, oh, my God. I kind of hope that's how it goes down. I hope these guys are all, and girl, are all sitting around the table thinking, okay, we got to just fucking, we got the pile of dynamite. We got the box that says Acme across the side.
Nice, yeah.
Somebody just grab the handle and push it down. How can we do this? Here we go.
Yeah.
Fucking Matt and Jeff. Bring them back. Hire Shane Helms, even though he's all drunk, fucked up, and comatose. And get him and get those four, him and those three and Shannon Moore. Get him a bunch of jugs and say X's
them,
on the side. Yep, get him a bunch of fucking Drano and batteries and Sudafed and just burn this motherfucker down.
Give me some purple drink. Extra purple. And extra coating.
That's awesome.
That.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I think that pretty much sums up our opinion of Matt Hardy.
Yeah, well, let me just personally thank you, Matt Hardy, for being so newsworthy and increasing the number of hits on our website. Thank you.
That's right. That's right. I'm going to go and put the letter S in front of Hitman, and you've got my exact opinion of Matt Hardy.
Indeed.
God. I don't know. Speaking of things leaving, we can just touch on this for a second. Todd Grisham actually just got a new gig with ESPN.
Yeah.
So he's following in the footsteps of Jonathan Coachman, who left WWE like 3 years ago?
Yeah, 3 or 4. Yeah.
Something like that. And so, I don't know. Todd Grisham, I think, do you and I agree on this, that he's improved in the last couple of years?
He got very good. Got very good. The writing was on the wall once again. They took him off of SmackDown commentary. And you kind of were wondering what's up with this. They were easing him into a lower role, and this is why, because they knew he was leaving. Now we know why. So.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's, you know, a win-win, really, because the thing is, WWE, for all the flack that their announcers get, and it's funny because it's like, you know, some weeks Booker T is the greatest announcer ever, and some weeks he's the fucking worst, he's the devil's spawn of announcing.
Are you kidding, man? He in my top fave five.
Oh,
that's
my
hero, D. Bryan, flying through the air with the greatest of ease.
God, he's something else. I don't know. But you've got all these three-man boots right now. You've got Raw with JR and King and Michael Cole.
Yep.
I'm not going to lie. I haven't watched an episode of SmackDown in so long. Is it still Josh Matthews, Booker T, and Michael Cole?
Yep.
Okay. And
both announcing threesome share something in common. They'd both be much better without Michael Cole.
Imagine that. How about that?
Oh. Wow.
You know, I really actually like the addition of William Regal on commentary to NXT.
He is excellent at almost everything he does and has been since the early 90s and is probably one of the most criminally underrated wrestlers in history. And
I'd
love to see him get a permanent announced job.
Absolutely. 10 years ago in better health, in a better state of mind, William Regal could have just, you know, the sky would have been the limit. And if there would have been more options, you know, God, imagine what, you know, if WWE released William Regal, which they did in like 99 or 2000, and he was cruising around and he did the Brian Pillman 2000 show with Benoit, and by then he was off drugs and clean and clear-headed. Can you imagine if there would have been a Ring of Honor at that time, like William Regal and Ring of Honor?
Well, that would have been perfect, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Perfect. You know, now it's Davey Williams. You know, it might be too little too late. Or not Davey Williams, Davey Richards. Sorry, Davey Richards.
Davey Richards, yeah.
But, yeah, so Regal, yeah, exactly. Now they've got a spot for him. And the guy's a natural talker.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, perfect. He seems like one of those guys that McMahon, he flies a little more under the radar than, you know, CM Punk was injured. And they're like, find something for him to do immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but then you've got Regal, who's maybe like a rung below that, where, you know, maybe he's out of the ring for 6 months, and then they're like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, he'd be good on commentary. He'd be a good general manager.
Right.
Or something like that. Or a good king.
God, he was so great with that feud with Jericho. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Uh-huh, yep.
So much good in this world.
So much good came with that.
Yeah.
So I think that shows how much he's good, but I think that shows how much we care about Todd Grisham, that we just spent the last 3 minutes talking about William Regal.
Yeah. Well, no, to his credit, he got better, and I thought he was one of the better announcers in wrestling, and so he kind of will be missed.
Yeah. You're going to disagree with me wholeheartedly, but I thought the team of Todd Grisham and Matt Stryker was the best commentary team for about 6 months running.
Yep, agreed.
Okay. The whole Matt Stryker thing, too, is like, you know, testy waters, I think.
Yeah.
Like, is he good? Is he great? Is he going into business for himself? You know, shave the poker face? I don't know. Let's see. What else, though? Yeah, and just for a little background, I think most people that listen to us have followed, you know, our non-career trajectories for the, you know, past, like, 6-7 years. I used to rail on Todd Grisham every week.
Yeah?
When he was the host of the WWE Experience alongside
Ivy. Yeah, that's how you got your start, was ripping him. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And a start I got. It was to the point where he told James Gutman, who used to write for The Torch and now writes for World Wrestling Insanity, to tell that Nelson guy to stop being such a dick to me. So, you know what? More power to Todd Grisham. He did get a lot better, and now he's on to greener pastures, and I look forward to seeing him. Just, you know, it's always fun to be like, oh, yeah, there he is. So I try to do that with Coach, too. Oh, there's Coach.
Yeah, I always get a kick out of seeing Coach on ESPN or ESPN News. Yeah.
God, I almost shit my pants. Literally. God, what was it, like February, I think? Carly and I went to Chicago. And
now, in your defense, you have irritable bowel syndrome, so.
Well, yeah. Did you hear about the irritable bowel syndrome awareness walk?
No.
They were going to do it on entrails. Hey-oh! Anyway, we were flipping through channels in Chicago, and I came across a local newscast, and who's doing the sports? Mike Adamley.
Oh, wow.
It was like everything in me to not be like, Carly, look. Oh, you should have seen what this guy did. He sucked, and then he got fired.
Yeah.
Just for her to be like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I do that with Beck every now and then. Oh, no, this is cool because, and she's just like staring at me. Like I've got a flaming booger coming out of my nose, you know?
Right. Well, there you go. So we can nerd out to ESPN thanks to Todd Grisham now.
Yeah.
Good luck, buddy. Let's see. We talked about Raw a little bit. I don't remember how. Oh, we talked about the Raw announce team.
We did.
That might actually be one factor of many. Let's go over some factors here of why in the hell Monday Night Raw drew a 2.97 rating this last week. 2.97. That's embarrassing. You you can round it up to a three. What's that? Kevin Nash? Okay. Let's start. I got a list of things here in this sheet of paper.
Kevin Nash. Withdrawing champion in history is a fan repellent, I think. So that might be a large part of it. What else do you got?
Well, here, let's think about this, though. He's a WWE fan repellent. Think about it. He left for 6 years, and when he came back in 2002 to the WWE, they took a weird, like, nosedive, both creatively, well, not just both, but creatively, talent-wise, and writing-wise. You know, they came off that peak of, like, 98 to 2001, and then it's like, here's Kevin Nash, and parallel, the whole company just goes to shit.
Right.
He was fine in WCW. Maybe it's just the atmosphere. And the thing is, he could have been, I don't know. I love the guy in WWE, but obviously I was one of very few because their ratings tanked.
Right, right.
He goes to a different environment, WCW, and he just flourishes. Ratings are skyrocketing. He makes a ton of money. Well, he's guaranteed a ton of money.
Right.
If somebody could actually do the math, I wonder how much money Kevin Nash drew.
See, I don't think any, because of how much he was making.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, if he made $850,000 a year his, like, second year, did he draw $850,000 that year? I don't know. Maybe not.
I don't know.
So, he's definitely a possibility.
Another thing of note is that Hall and Nash were never really on top either.
That's true.
After the initial push and establishing the NWO, they were always down a little bit, and it was always Hogan on top.
Hogan, yeah, that's a very good point. You know,
you gotta factor that in.
Yeah, the subsequent pay-per-view main events were Hogan Piper again, Hogan Savage. Hogan Sting after a while. You know, they were with the top guys, but they weren't. Yeah, you're right. They weren't the top guys.
Right, right.
Okay, good point.
They basically ran the biggest con in wrestling history, getting that much money.
Damn right.
God bless them. So.
Yeah. Triple H. Triple H has been back and sucking all the fun out of the room for the last month. Do you think he's a contributing factor to this?
Yeah, probably. I don't hate him like everyone else online does, but I can see where, you know, they'd just be better off without him, probably.
Yeah.
His serious character is just too serious. I know I decry the amount of dumb comedy in wrestling, but he sucks the fun out of the room.
He really does. Honestly, I'd never gotten into any Triple H character at all. When he was doing funny DX, you know, to me, he was just like the elephant. You know, I was a New Age Outlaws guy. I wasn't a Triple H guy.
Yeah.
When he was doing the McMahon-Helmsley thing, I just thought that was awful, personally. When he was doing the, you know, just like overwhelming sort of champion in 2001, 2002, and like 20-minute promos at the beginning of every show.
Terrible.
Just terrible. And he's doing it again. I mean, Christ, how many, you know, he's been back, what, 5 weeks? And I think he's cut 3 promos in the first 20 minutes of the Monday Night Raw. It's just terrible.
He's back
so,
to that
I don't know.
Champion character. Yeah.
So I just, you know, to me, I think he's a part of it. I don't think there's anything for me personally that they could do with Triple H to make him entertaining.
I agree.
Here's an idea. John Cena.
I think he would best be utilized in a writing role, behind-the-scenes role, mentor kind of thing.
Yeah, I could definitely
see
that.
He has a lot to offer, but I don't think as a character, I don't think he has any use anymore. I think we're at that point.
The only trick is to convince him to give up the spotlight.
Can't. He won't do it.
No, certainly not. John Cena. But here's a question about John Cena. It comes with a sub-question. Is John Cena just a microcosm of a bigger problem, that being lazy writing or, you know, midsummer stretch of nothing happening or, you know. Is John Cena always going to be worth a 3.0 and everything else is like icing on the cake.
Yeah, I think there is some validity to that. I don't want to blame him like everyone does. I don't really think it's his fault.
Yeah.
I think it's the writing. His writing is typically mediocre.
Yeah.
Now, that might be his fault because he doesn't veto like Austin used to.
Right.
He needs to have a better grasp of what his character should be, and he needs to stand up for it.
Yep. Oh, yeah. That's
his fault.
We've said it multiple times that he doesn't always, in fact, he rarely ever, portrays the right emotion for the situation at hand.
Yep.
You know, Urkel the Clown could be out there, Urkel the fucking Clown could be out there, and he'd be like, I'm going to unleash hell and rip every limb off your body. But then, like, Randy Orton could literally be ass-raping his wife in the middle of the ring, and he'd be like, oh, look at this guy with the tribal tattoo. Making me look like a fool again.
Oh, poopy poopy.
Poopy pee. I'm going to make the poopy pee joke. God, he just can't. He can't fucking hit that note. Maybe he's been in this fucking company for nine years now.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe if you, like, pour through the records of Monday Night Raw and every promo he cut in SmackDown, you might find, like, five instances where he's hit that fucking note.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, he's either being shown up or he's way off base. Honestly,
yeah.
One of my favorite John Cena memories is Batista calling him out for what the fuck did he say? Kissing fat girls and something else.
Yeah.
What did he say? Whatever it was brilliant.
Yeah, I remember that.
And that's my favorite John Cena memory, was when Batista said that about him. So, I don't know. There's still going to be, to me, that core of audience that tunes in for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when you get, like, awesome shit like, well, I can say CM Punk, but Christ, CM Punk's in the middle of it right now, and they still drew a poor rating.
Yeah.
You know, The Rock, or The Miz, or Edge, or whatever. And they start drawing, you know, like a 3-4, 3-5, 3-6. It's like Cena is that core, and whatever else the writing team and everybody else in that machine does is what affects that, like, point one, point two, point three. What about Punk? I mean, Punk is at the heart of this thing, really, if you want to look at it, like, in terms of whatever. Punk is the heart of this storyline. He's the emotion of the crowd. He's the emotion of the nerds on the internet like us. He's supposedly breaking down this fourth wall. And it seems like it's ringing true. I mean, he had one good pay-per-view buy rate if the early numbers were any indication, but the ratings are shit.
Yeah, right.
I mean, how do you, is he a factor? Is he the factor?
Oh, you got to blame almost everything, don't you? I know that's a cop-out answer, but everything that's happening is probably partially wrong with it, you know?
I think so, too.
So, yeah, he's a part of it. Not the whole part, but yeah.
Sure. Here's another one, though. Alberto Del Rio, and we've got things that we can say about this guy. You know, there are times in the course of WWE history when the WWE champion is not the centerpiece of the company.
Yep.
And right now, the centerpieces are John Cena, CM Punk, Triple H, and Kevin Nash.
Right.
Let's call a spade a spade.
And
your WWE champion, Alberto Del Rio, is not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many things wrong with this guy.
Oh, does he love his name?
So does WWE, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. What is with that? Everybody loves their name.
Oh, hi, I'm Dolph Ziggler. Oh, hello, Mr. Kennedy. Oh, Kennedy. Do they feel like because they've got a younger crowd, they need to spoon feed these names, or what?
I don't know. Attention span? Kids
maybe.
Aren't that dumb.
No.
There's no way they're going to forget names like that. I don't know.
there are names that you and I probably remember from our childhood in pro wrestling that if we just, like, drop them in conversations, like, 10 out of 10 people, even people who were wrestling fans back then would be like, who the fuck are you talking about? Kids
right.
are not that dumb. They will retain the information. We don't have, you don't have to tell us Dolph Ziggler's name 12 times.
Yeah,
you don't have to remind us that Alberto Del Rio is Alberto Del Rio twice in the same promo.
No, he's Alberto Del Rio or whatever.
But you already knew that.
Yeah. I mean, what does Nail think about this?
I think that he would say,
you steal all those cars, Del Rio. You park that car in front of an unpaid meter. Fuck! I'm going to choke out your boss. I'm making you say your name.
That's probably what Nail would say.
I'm done. I tap. Holy shit. Oh, wow.
Jesus. Mary and Joseph. Yeah, I think it's everything right now. I don't know. Like, you can't peg it on anything. If it were me, I'd hang it on Triple H personally because I think he sucks.
I don't think you can blame it on the time of year, though. Like, oh, it's the midsummer night's dreary. then football's going to start, and oh, well, it's fall football, you know?
Right. Right.
And then it'll be, oh, winter, oh, people, you know, too dreary to watch wrestling, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, it's spring. Well, people go outside during spring. They can't watch wrestling, you know.
Oh, 3 weeks of WrestleMania, great. Ratings are a 3-6. Everybody's happy.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. The time of year thing is a poor excuse. You know, they were still bringing in fucking huge ratings during football back in 98 and 99.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
So, it's just, you know, it's a poor cast of characters overall. It's kind of lazy writing with crutches. I mean, how many weeks can you do a Triple H promo with CM Punk interrupting him, making a Stephanie reference, John Cena growling about wanting the title belt?
Yeah.
You know,
I think if I were doing some quick doctoring, you get rid of the fossils like Triple H, and everybody else would be good in a mid-card role. John Cena would be excellent as a mid-carder. You just need a couple, you need a Rock and an Austin, and there just isn't anybody like that now, you know?
Yeah.
The only guy I can think of would be if they could somehow get Brock Lesnar back.
Oh, yeah. That would be amazing.
That would be a huge coup, and he would be a big-name guy, maybe, in that Austin vein. That's what they need. They need to find an Austin again.
And if you know what? If Lesnar came with Paul Heyman, even better.
Yeah.
For being the guy who ran the company out of a bingo hall, Paul Heyman is main event talent, whether anybody would like to admit it or not.
Right.
And
well, that was
so.
Like he was pissed at WCW, and he wanted to prove him wrong, and you know.
Right. Yep.
He forced himself into the bingo hall, so that wasn't an indication of his talent level at all.
No, God, no, no. And unfortunately, though, you got guys who have been promoting shows in stadiums for, you know, 30 years that look at that bingo hall, and that's their perception. It's like, oh, Paul Heyman's just the bingo hall guy.
Yeah, Jerry Lawler is one of them. God bless Jerry Lawler, but he just pigeonholes him into that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, you know, there's a guy that can sell out the Mid-South Coliseum for like 5 years in a row and then barely draw 500 people to it a few years later.
Oh, my God. Memphis at the Inn was just terrible.
Oh,
with,
man.
Brian Christopher and the Spellbinder running around everywhere.
Reggie B. Fine.
Oh, fuck.
Well done after they came back from WWE.
Right.
Yep.
They're done.
Yeah, they are done. Double done. I don't like that much either. All right. I had another thing on my list here. We might have to breeze through this one because I think we're getting near the hour point.
We are. We are chatty Cathy's today.
Oh, boy. Well, babbly, babbly. Okay. This is actually a fun topic, though, so let's just take as much time as we need. You posted on the site that NBC has picked up a new drama, at least the pilot. They've committed to the pilot for a new drama show, a one-hour drama, based on professional wrestling in the 1980s.
Yes.
Executive producers at this point are listed as Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Not sure exactly what role he'll play. Maybe a consultative role. Maybe just, you know, getting his name involved with it.
Yeah, putting his name on it, they probably hope will get it some traction. Maybe
how
the show made in the first place, you know?
Maybe. Hey, you know what? Same with Stone Cold Steve Austin and Tough Enough. You know, that's a hard concept to sell these days without Stone Cold.
Yep. Right.
The other executive producer, Jerry Bruckheimer, you know, his name is credited with all the CSI franchises, Miami, New York, other CBS shows, Cold Case, Without a Trace, Amazing Race. That thing that when you're watching football on CBS at 3:30, they always say, you know, stay tuned. We're probably going to preempt 60 minutes. Then following is Amazing Race, Cold Case, and Without a Trace.
Right. And then they have a one shot of Bruckheimer jumping into an Uncle Scrooge money bin. So.
That's awesome. That rich motherfucker.
He is, dude. He's everywhere.
He is. Well, good for him, I guess. Another guy's cashing in. Man, and the thing that sucks is I know that I've got some good ideas, too. I know you've got good ideas. Why aren't we making money like this asshole?
Yeah. I don't know.
So, I don't know. Well, so here's my question for you. So this show is probably going to look like, I feel like it's going to look like a Mad Men or this new Playboy Club show. You know, it's going to have that maybe like dark seediness to it.
Okay, yeah, I'll buy that.
I feel like that's what people think of when they think of wrestling from the 80s, which isn't entirely accurate. I guess depending on the level of, you know, territory you're talking about.
Yeah.
But, you know, the smoky arena sort of like. I feel like they're gonna do some anachronistic shit here, where they're gonna try to talk about the 80s, but it's gonna look like it was set in the 50s.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
hey.
So here's my question for you. Let's talk about. Can we talk about some of the prototypes of characters and archetypes of characters that also exist in pro wrestling, maybe backstage, maybe on camera? That you could see translating onto a show like this. Like, I think the obvious one would be the seedy, sort of, like, mean, gruff, but still kind of troubled promoter.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
To me, that seems like the central character of a show like this. Is the Vince McMahon, the oversex, you know, asshole on the outside, you know, but he still gives to Make-A-Wish type of promoter character.
Sure. Yeah, well, on-air characters, you got to have an evil foreigner, you know.
Sure.
Evil foreigner and a flag waver. So.
Yeah, I mean that makes sense. You gotta have your like, you know, big hulking babyface champion.
The 80s were soaked in xenophobia, so.
Yeah. Well, here's a question for you then. So, if we're looking at this show as something that's gonna look maybe behind the scenes of pro wrestling, you know, the way the characters interact, you've got your babyface champion, you've got your kind of, you know, here's the promoter that's like, okay, it's the 80s, we hate Iran, let's get an Irene. There's your foreigner.
Uh-huh.
You might also be thinking, you know, white people still don't quite like black people yet.
Yeah.
So maybe there's like a Junkyard Dog character on this show who thinks he should be getting a bigger push than he is. He's getting shoved down the card because the promoter's like, fuck you, Blackie. I'm not going to promote you.
Yeah, I like that, yeah.
I could see that. Here's something that really kind of piqued my interest, though. Again, I'm looking at it as a show that maybe centers around the promoter of a wrestling company.
Mm-hmm.
What about all the yes-men that surround a guy like that?
Yeah. Well, if you're going to focus on a character like that, you have to put yes men with him, or else it's not real. Everybody had those.
What are some other shows that are, I don't know, I never watched The West Wing. Did you ever watch that?
No, never seen it.
What's a one-hour drama type show where you've got that one guy that's kind of got his inner circle, you know? This is going to sound pathetic, but I've never seen an episode of Mad Men.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I know, and I have Netflix, so I just need to get it. But is that kind of like what they do there? I'm looking for a show with a central character that's kind of got his posse. I'm having a hard time thinking of one.
Yeah, me too.
Because so many shows right now are ensemble shows, like Law and Order.
Yeah, right.
Well, look at, House.
Those are the shows I like the most, sort of procedural type shows.
Well, here might actually be, I can't believe we didn't think of this, but House. You've got your special character, Gregory House, and he's surrounded by this cast of characters that are just in a fit every day because they've got to agree with his brilliance, tiptoe around his issues, and just generally do their job while pacifying the guy that they answer to.
Right.
And just like,
as far as the show goes, their entire existence is centered around interaction with House, as it would probably be if it was a real life person, you know?
Yep.
He would affect them in every single way. So, House is the perfect example.
Yep. And I really do think that's the way this show would succeed at its highest potential.
There's a lot of House in Vince McMahon.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I feel like, and that's another thing, society loves the idea of getting a voyeuristic peek at assholes and jerks and the way they operate, and really hoping that they just fail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I feel like if a show basically is a mirror image of Vince McMahon's WWF from 1984, that it's going to be like the best possible story arc for the show.
Sure. Yeah, that'll be interesting. Do they focus on several territories or just one territory? Do they focus on WWF? You know, that'll be interesting.
Yeah. I mean, there's only so much. Here's a guy who is blowing rails off of Cyndi Lauper's tits and jacking himself up with steroids, probably just thinking he's invincible. You know, I can get Liberace at the snap of my finger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is a hell of a lot more interesting show than fucking Country Bumpkins down in Charlotte, North Carolina, running a company out of a converted convenience store.
Right. Jim Cornette driving 3 hours to get $5. Yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
The only other thing I could see would be like a world-class thing where you've got three sons that are just like
world-class
fucking rats backstage.
Was that corrupt. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. You know, rats everywhere.
Yeah.
Fritz Von Erich, the heavy-handed boss that, you know, is trying to protect his kids. And I don't know. I could see either one. But to me, I lean toward the Vince McMahon story.
Didn't Fritz win the Wrestling Observer Most Disgusting Promotional Tactic like 3 or 4 years in a row?
I would think that every year he did a parade of champions where he tacked on another one of his sons' names to the banner was probably the most disgusting tactic that year. Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He definitely won in, like, the 84, you know, for the calendar year of 84. And I'm sure he did the next 2 years, too.
Yeah, I seem to remember several years in a row. Just disgusting human being. That would make good TV.
Exactly. There you have it. Well, sir, I don't know. I think that's about all the discussion we really need to get into. I think we're over our time, but who gives a shit?
We are absolutely over our time, and I don't care at all.
All right, good deal. Well, in that case, I'm going to thank everybody for checking us out, you know, keeping our numbers up, let's be honest. But, you know, we got a few more followers on Twitter. Twitter's pretty active right now. Follow us if you're not already. Twitter.com/StuntGranny.
Yeah.
Yeah, just check out everything we got going on. We appreciate it, and I'm going to go ahead and get the hell out of here.
All right. Well, for Eric Nelson and Greg Cody, we are the Miami Dolphins. excuse me. Is this thing on? We'll try to do better next time.